supposed to be one of the things your grandmother with dementia said? All right. Hello. All right, it's 38 seconds after the hour of 11. And this is the month of November in the year of the Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the Plush Leaf Pointy, the unutterably ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. Hello. Thank you. And so forth. It is 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. 503-733-2970. If you want to call today with your comments, clarifications, your confessions, your 2 cents. If things are getting smaller where you are, it's rick@rickemerson.com if you would like to email. Engage with us in a binary fashion. rick@rickemerson.com. Is it shorter, too, or just narrower?
Narrower.
Here's what just happened. So we were just getting ready to come in and do the show, and we were going through the New York Times, which we will do later on. Because I didn't. Now, is this like an every week thing, or is it just on Thursdays that the New York Times does this thing? Because I only read it online. I don't get it at home.
Oh, this?
Yeah.
No, this is a special section of holiday movies.
So we were going through the holiday movie section of the New York Times, and boy, everything looks terrible. So we'll go through that page by page. And Tim was doing this great. Do they still run Jeff Craig's 60-second preview anywhere?
I'm not sure.
What I'm talking about?
No.
You've never?
No.
There used to be this terrible thing that they would run. And it's one of those things that radio stations did or do. Or, I don't think we do it here. But where it's just a commercial masquerading as information. They're trying to pretend that it's some sort of news you can actually use. And reality is just a way for them to get you to buy, like, Milk Duds. And it's this guy, Jeff Craig, who would come on. And he would say, I'm Jeff Craig, and this is 60-second preview. And it was him reviewing a film. Oh, and the guy, yeah, by the way, if you're the guy in Virginia's conceding.
So not yet, over. He's got to concede at noon.
Yeah, but it's over. Done. You know,
that'll mean the Democrats will take control of the Senate, and nothing will be accomplished.
So we will have total and complete gridlock coming in 1 hour. There will be nothing accomplished in this country ever again. We will now come to an absolute and total standstill in this democracy. God bless it. But Jeff Craig would come on and he would do this 60-second preview, which is this bit that I used to have to play at night as a DJ. And it would actually come on a vinyl record, and there was like 10 previews to a side. And the distinguishing characteristic of Jeff Craig and his 60-second preview is that nothing ever got a bad review, ever. Every movie was fantastic. Every movie was a rib-tickling, slap-happy laugh-fest. Every movie was a great family film. Every movie was an action-packed roller coaster adventure thrill ride. And then he would just tell you about, I don't know, and then he would just tell you about, like, some tire store halfway through. But just right before we were coming on the air, Tim was looking through the New York Times. And boy, man, as bad as the crap usually is, this year just looks even worse. There's the dreck they're going to be shoveling out. Anyway, so Tim was going through the New York Times, and at the last minute, because we get a big... I have to say this, that usually, and in our past experience with radio stations, we never get to read the newspaper because the newspaper is gone by the time we get here. We would come in, and even when we were doing this show at 9 a.m., well, and they've just fired enough people here that there's newspapers piling up in the hallway. There's no one to read.
Right.
The newspapers used to... I'm fairly sure that the... I mean, It's not like the voice track computer really needs to brush up on the, you know, like what's in the living section. So they've just, here and at radio stations everywhere, they've just managed to thin down the workforce enough that there's lots of newspapers left over. So we came in and Tim grabbed the USA Today and came in. And I don't know if you have noticed this at home, probably not, but Tim came in and he did that classic thing where the newspaper's folded in half, and he took it and he went, cocoon, and he sort of shook the newspaper out. You know, you sort of flick the newspaper into place so you can scan the entire front page at once. And Tim said, is the newspaper getting smaller? And then he held it up, and I'll be goddamned if the newspaper isn't getting smaller.
It is.
Even
Tilly
Dillon said it's getting smaller, and she has better eyes than I.
It's comically small. I would never have noticed it, though.
So I don't know. Is this a thing that just happened? Has it happened?
Do we have a normal newspaper to hold up next to it to see if we're just...
Do we have yesterday's USA Today?
I doubt it. It would be in the recycling bin.
Hey, Scotty, can you rustle up a USA Today from earlier in the week? Today is what, Thursday?
Yes.
Can you find a USA Today that is not from Thursday? Because Tim held it up, and it really is, it's like a leaflet.
Maybe we've been so busy we haven't noticed.
Hold on, let me hold it in my hand. It's absolutely gotten smaller. I just want to know when that, you know what it is? This is like, This is like how over the years candy bars got smaller, but you didn't notice it for the longest time because that cardboard tray inside, which is there to deceive you.
And bags of dog food. let me tell you, when I first got my present dog some 6 years ago,
yes,
the largest bag of dog food was 40 pounds. Then, without telling anyone, it went to 35. Then, without telling anyone again, it went to 32. And now, down to 30.
Are you paying the same price?
Same price for a 30-pound bag as a 40-pound bag.
Fantastic. Let's just make an endless list of things that are getting smaller over time.
And without us being warned that it's happening.
Well, they never tell you. The only thing that gets larger, bottles of soda. That's it. That is it.
And French fries.
I don't really know that anybody's made that observation before. We talked about it in terms of big gulps. How there was the gulp, then there was the big gulp, then the super big gulp, then the double gulp. But, I mean, it's not just that, man. Look, I don't mean to sound like a grumpy old parent talking about how kids are drinking too much soda these days, but seriously, does anybody on earth need like a 75-ounce soda or whatever the hell comes out of that machine in the kitchen now? For the love of sweet Jehovah, stop it. God, no wonder your ass can't fit into those stupid Docker pants you wear. Yes, talking to you, right there, you. All right. No one in this room, of course. You, right there.
I don't think there's anybody who's overfed in this room. No. We may be making up for lost time on a normal day.
All right. Man, I've been eating like, I don't even want to talk about it.
I saw your bike out front. I'm very proud of you.
I did. Because I had to. Because I've been...
I haven't ridden my bike in like 2 days, and already I'm out of shape.
Oh.
It sucks. I hate riding the bus.
You know what I don't understand about this? I am not a cardiologist. I am not the... Rick Emerson is not a physiologist? Nor am I fizzy. I am not a physiologist. So I don't really understand how this works. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time in it because it doesn't really matter because I don't think it's going to be fixed. But here's the thing is, I don't understand why, and I will accept this week and last week, but how generally speaking, I can ride my bike, I don't know, that's a good, I figured out it was like 12 miles a day, a good 4 or 5 days. That's like sick, that's 200 miles a month. And yet I get winded coming up the goddamn stairs. I don't know why that is, man. It's like, I come up this and get to the top. I walk down the street. Yeah, what are you going to do? I'm going to walk over to the KUFO building. I get there, man. I'm all wheezing. I can't stand up straight. I feel like I'm seeing dead relatives and everything. It doesn't make any sense at all. And the newspapers are getting smaller. And Leon's getting larger. All right. It's 503-733-297. Oh, wait. Here we go. This is Kyle, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, it happened during the summer when they laid off a bunch of their staff, and they did shrink it by like that 10%.
It's really cunning, actually.
Yes.
Because it's not the sort of thing. Now, is it the same number of pages?
I'm not sure. I just know they downsized a lot of their staff.
Well, newspapers, I can't even imagine what it's like to work in a newspaper these days. Seriously, it's like being an abacus repairman. I have no idea. God love them. I mean, we have a lot of friends who work on newspapers. All I can say to you is diversify, my friends. Learn to do something else right now. Learn how to shine shoes.
And, Rick, do you remember those stinking huge big gulps? The one with that little cap you pulled up the top?
That's what I'm saying. That's a double gulp. That is a double gulp. That is 64 ounces. And there was a plastic clip you had to use on the top, and it closed like an envelope.
<That's huge.
laughs> Those were the days. All right, there you go. Thank you, sir. Hey, you know what we should do today? We got more Harvey Korman, Tim Conway thing. In fact, we had two pair today because I did not get yesterday's pair given away. We are doing like a 5-4-3-2-1, which means today is actually third and second row, and then tomorrow, first row, including backstage. You know what we'll do today? We'll do like one pop culture face-up, and then I think we're going to do a When I Was a Boy in honor of the USA Today shrinking. And so forth. I wonder if they did it gradually or if they just did. They must have done it like over a couple of weeks because you'd notice that. You know what I mean? Otherwise, it's the sort of thing that would leap out. I'll say, Scotty's telling him he cannot find a USA Today from a. From they've cunningly dispatched
them all. They send somebody around at night to pick them up.
So just collect them all and just shred them. All right. Let's see. What am I doing here? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, Mailman Chris.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Official stenographer of the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, sir. Oh. Hello, how are you doing, sir?
That usually works.
Yes, thank you.
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm okay, except everything is getting... For a minute, I just wondered if Tim was getting larger. But that
you
does
know,
seem unlikely.
I can tell you something else that's getting smaller, Rick. the number of push-ups.
Okay.
You were at 49 just 1 week ago, and you're at 37 now.
That's what I'm talking about. Soon I will be at zero, and you all will be my slaves. All right, here's what we're going to get through today. We have, oh, man, I got some of the worst stuff. First of all, we have the worst, and by that I mean it's the best of your us, Sarah Dillon story ever. It's right here. Not a story about Sarah Dillon, but a story.
Sarah Dillon will be... breastfeeding story.
I'm not going to answer what kind of story it is, Sarah Dillon. I don't feel that it's pertinent to release that information at this time. I'm going to mark this Sarah X Dillon. Right there. Fantastic.
On a need-to-know basis.
Yeah, seriously. And you do need to know this story right here.
Oh, boy.
It's all very exciting. All right. We have that coming up today. We're going to continue the dissection of Britney Spears' second failed marriage. Boy, and Kevin Federley, you know, here's the thing about that guy. And this, again, just goes back to our it goes back to our statement about how the country always just unilaterally takes a side. Is it unilaterally or is it with unanimity? Or is it the same thing? You know, can I just tell you this?
Sure.
I use that word unilateral a lot, and I'm not really sure what that means. I think I may have been using that incorrectly my whole life.
I believe that is correct, Rick.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to keep you around just so you can say, yes, Rick, that is in fact.
The president's been acting in that manner for quite some time, and he doesn't know what it means.
Oh, man, we're going to talk about that, too. We'll talk about, we're not going to dwell on the elections, but, man, I got to, we're going to have Dick Giuliano. Hmm. Now, why in the why for the third day in a row is it Dick Giuliano and not Lisa Goddard?
Lisa, I know she doesn't like you.
Why are you going to hate? I want, no, but.
No, I think because he has some new breaking thing.
A hip?
I don't know. Okay. I just try to get off the phone as quick as possible.
Sorry, you just go, Lars, please, I need to book this. You got to bike. Yeah, that's it. You just call up. You do a drive-by booking.
So
with Laura.
She's so mean to me every day. I just try to rush it off. And, like, I'm listening to all her snide comments. I'm like, I figure she's the one person I have to be super nice to.
Did you lord it over her that we talked to Joshua Jackson?
No, because then I'd have to talk.
Well, I'm just saying. All right. So we do not have Lisa. So we have Dick Giuliano today with breaking news. Oh, it's probably about the Vermont thing. That's probably what it is. It's probably that what's-his-guts has conceded in Vermont. Anyways,
I'd like to hear more about this new senator from Montana, this John Tester guy, the guy with the cute crew cut, who lost three of his fingers in the meat grinding machine.
Oh, that's the meatloaf guy.
Yeah. His name was Robert Paulson.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if you know...
He's a new breed of Democrat.
Seriously. If
one that doesn't have all the fingers.
If you... He's somewhat less than an average Democrat, then. If you go and you look at the picture of this guy, what's his first name?
His name is, let's see here.
John.
Yeah. John Tester? If you go look at John Tester, I swear to God, he's Meatloaf, but not just Meatloaf. He's Meatloaf in Fight Club. Mm-hmm. And you know that it's true. You go look at his photo, and that's exactly who he is. All right, so we're going to talk to Dick Giuliano today about the Donald Rumsfeld, who's speaking today. That's the thing about Donald Rumsfeld. So, man, nothing slows that guy up. He's speaking at the University of Kansas today. He's out there giving some sort of commencement speech or whatever, which is great. We'll talk to Jim Roop about Britney Spears. And the thing is, and I was saying this earlier, that I don't know, like just a couple weeks ago, we were all on the We Hate Britney Spears bandwagon. We either didn't like her or we didn't care about her, but now, bam, we are solidly back in her court. And it's all because she's dumping that husband, and boy, do we have some great stories about him today. I can't even begin to tell you the stories we have. I'm just going to just tease this one little... Right here? A little bit of Kevin Federline news. I don't even know when this is from. Is this from... I think this is from... What's today? The 9th?
Mm-hmm.
This is from yesterday. A Chicago venue is now giving away seats for Kevin Federline's upcoming concert there. Concert. Like it's the Boston Pops. The Chicago Tribune reports that tickets to Kevin Federline's House of Blues. Think about that. That's got to feel good if you're a blues musician. Somebody with a long heritage. Somebody from the South who's created some of America's greatest, most enduring, soulful music. That Kevin Federline is being presented by the House of Blues. Apparently that's when John Goodman's not on stage in like a pork pie hat looking like an idiot.
I think you're just referring to the blues that people get when they realize they paid to see Kevin Federline.
Except that they don't have to do that anymore because they'll just give them to you. Are so undersold, the tickets are. The venue has been handing them out for free with the exception of a $2 convenience charge. Federline's New York City, that's great. And you know, that means that everybody's going to make money but him. Federline's New York City show Saturday night also saw what they're referring to as, quote, soft ticket sales. There's 1,500 people at this venue. This venue holds 1,500 people. How many people do you suppose were there?
200?
300.
Oh.
One-fifth.
Oh,
20%
hurts,
full. Bam. The other way of saying that is 80% empty. The aspiring rapper's Cleveland show was reportedly canceled recently due to... Now, listen, this is great, is that sometimes they'll say, due to conflicts, sometimes they'll actually flat out say, due to, you know, lagging ticket sales, or due to a scheduling difficulty, due to unforeseen circumstances, family issues, throat problems, whatever. They don't even say lack of ticket sales. They say, quote, lack of interest, end quote. No one cares. Spears filed for divorce from Federline yesterday after 2 years of marriage. The couple have two young sons together. Imagine that guy being your dad.
And you know that, like, 100 of those people that were actually at the show just wanted to see if Britney Spears was backstage.
I read a breakdown, actually. The New York Daily News went through to the show he had the other day with Waverly Arena or someplace. But there was like 250 people there, some other venue. Well, this actually must have been the one I'm talking about, this New York City thing where 300 people, it's a 1,500-person venue. They went through the crowd and they actually polled people as to why they were there. This is the really doubly deceptive thing. Kevin, and I know that we're spending a lot of time talking about Kevin Federline, but I got to do it because in 15 minutes he'll be gone. So his New York City show, 1,500 people could fit in that venue. There's 300 there. Of those 300, over half of them got the tickets for free, just like from guys on the street handing them out. 50 of those people were employees of the venue, and another 50 were concert winners. So there you go. So that means that there was 50 people there who actually paid for tickets, a bunch of whom were foreigners, by the way. And there was a whole lot of like he's sort of our Borat. They were just sort of here to look at him.
We want to see the Yankee dog.
Bring us the head of Kevin Federline. The couple have been two young sons together. Federline released his debut album, Playing with Fire, last week. Who wants to guess how many copies Playing with Fire has sold?
I know how many, so I won't guess.
6,000.
Yep.
It does, and you know even those figures are inflated, by the way. All right, so we got more Britney news coming up. What else? Dick Liano, news that hurts. Oh, and thanks to our friend The Low, who lives in Las Vegas, where such things are possible for whatever inexplicable reason, we have sound of Wake Up with Whoopi, the new Whoopi Goldberg show that is sweeping nowhere. So we have set, and apparently she raps at the beginning of this. I haven't listened. I only got like 5 seconds in, and I had to quit listening because it was making me hurt. It was hurting my soul. And so, but we'll listen to it later. Apparently Whoopi Goldberg begins her program by rapping. She does something that I believe we should not start doing on this program, which is she raps her introduction where she introduces all of her co-hosts. And
I hope I don't have to rap, too.
No, we'll do that later on. All right, there you go, sir.
All right, so the worst Sarah Dillon story... our worst story for Sarah Dillon. A big bag of Britney.
Yes.
Dick Liano, Jim Roop, news that hurt, and Wake Up with Whoopi.
That is exactly what we're going to get through today. We may get to other things, but those are the things that that are guaranteeing on today's program, sir.
Excellent.
All right, there you go. And I'm at what, 37?
You're at 37.
Thank you. All right, check with you at the end of the show, my friend.
Talk.
All right, there you go. That's Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Rick Emerson radio program. All right. We'll also go to the New York Times. Look at this this page-by-page thing. We're joined by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. By the way, now you told me that this woman who whacked into your car, that she had, they went a couple days in jail, some probation,
mm-hmm.
and then she had to pay restitution. Do you know how much the restitution was?
Yes, because I could only do it for my bus passes. Well, her insurance company's paying for my car, but personally, yeah, I could only get that much out of her.
$34?
Mm-hmm.
That hurts.
I know. Well, I don't care. I mean, that was what I spent on buses.
Imagine how many cans she's going to have to go pick up to raise that. And are they giving you a fair price for your car?
No.
No, of course they're not. What am I saying? Of course they're not. Why did I even ask? All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, there are tears in the CBS Eye today as Ed Bradley of 60 Minutes fame has passed away at the age of 65. Nobody even knew he was sick.
I have no idea.
No.
It was leukemia or something, mm-hmm. right?
Leukemia, yeah.
I got nothing.
The president and Nancy Pelosi are ready to make nice, and we're moments away from the official announcement that may put Congress squarely in the hands of Democrats, as George Allen is expected to concede, and this Democrat named Webb will win the race, and CNN is calling it Webb's feet.
Fantastic.
Paris Hilton's parents love her sex tape.
Well, who doesn't? All right. Well, and yeah, I don't want to dwell on this guy who tossed himself off the
Paramount. The president says, let's put the election behind us.
Can we please?
Yeah.
Can you please erase that from my memory? We have another installment of the president's weekly radio address from our good friends at The Onion. We'll get to that. And then I have, I believe, the final word on this this guy who pitched himself off the hotel downtown the other day.
Yeah, that's so weird how everyone's just pretending it didn't happen. It doesn't exist.
And see, here's the really creepy and sad and pathetic part about it is that we have suddenly become the official news source that people trust on this because no one else is talking about
it. Yeah, it's like this person didn't have an identity. It's not like it wasn't... It's just weird how he's just been erased.
Well, so, we're fair and balanced.
That's true. It really is true. So by default, we've become the place that... And here's the thing about it. The thing about this guy, and again, I don't mean to dwell on it for the sake of morbidity, but it really is just curious that no one... I mean, I'm not saying every guy who caps himself is a story. You know, you slam your garage door and run your hose. That's your business. Guy throws himself off a hotel in the middle of downtown Portland, Oregon.
On the penthouse suite.
In a work day. Yeah, seriously, in a work day. That's a story. It just is. I'm not saying that's good or bad. It just is. And so, and here's the thing about it is, remember how we were having that whole thing about the McGruff the crime dog, and how... And this is an absolutely true story about how the new voice of McGruff is the son of the previous voice of McGruff, who was killed in a home break-in, and he now voices that animated dog to avenge his father's untimely passing. Here's the other thing, though. The thing, it's like that is the Paramount jumper. The guy who committed suicide at the Paramount is just like McGruff the crime dog. In that, you can now see...
I like the word Paramount jumper, though.
Paramount jumper should be the name of a band. You were here to witness this because what it was Tuesday. So everybody who was here to witness the creation of an urban legend. Not so much an urban legend, but one of those things, one of those stories. Because it wasn't in the news, wasn't in the paper. Nobody talked about it. To best of my knowledge, no photos of it, no photographic evidence. So it's one of those things that people are going to talk about. And there's going to be a half dozen people who say they were there. And there's going to be 5 million people who heard about it, but nobody's really sure. And fact is going to blend with fiction, and it's going to become this huge thing that people talk about in years to come. It'll be like one of those weird. Do you remember? When blah 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 stories. We were here to cover it. The Rick Emerson Show, CBS Radio Portland.
Someday there'll be a movie about it.
Covering all your hotel suicides.
Yeah, it's just crazy. So, but yeah, if I ever know anyone who's planning on staying in the penthouse suite of the Paramount,
we should totally do that for next Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Reynolds, pleased to be. Susan, by the way, just emailed me and informed me that KFED's new nickname is FedEx.
I like that.
Yeah, I really do. All right. Well, I got all this crap, but no time to get
to
it.
At the celebrity blender party, somebody went as K FedEx.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, the bathroom on the bathroom here at CBS Radio Portland is broken. You have to use the one on the secret 9 3/4 platform place.
How do you get up there?
It's down. But that's the thing is, it's down from here. It's not up from here.
Down from here?
It is on the second floor. And everybody thinks that we're
the second floor.
That's what I'm saying. The bathroom here has been all torn out because they did the remodeling this place across the hall. The weird thing about this building is it really is like a Harry Potter building. You walk in here, you take an elevator up or an escalator up one floor. Quiznos, we can all agree with this. Quiznos is on the ground floor, right?
Mm, correct.
Okay.
Yes.
You walk past the Quiznos, it's like some weird wormhole crap. You walk past the Quiznos, you get on the escalator, you pass one floor. And yet you step off the escalator, you are on the third floor, which is the weirdest thing ever. And there is like this whole secret mystery second floor that you can only get to, and it's not even from all the elevators, it's only from one of the elevators. But the bathroom smells of citrus, and that makes it all worthwhile. There you go. And their toilet tissue is much softer than ours. Anywho, do I have to do this for me? Who is this? Well, let's take this real quickly and then we'll break. Hello, sir. How can I help you? Hello.
Hey.
Hi, how can I help you, my friend?
Briefly, the newspapers are shrinking. It was in the news like 6-9 months ago, USA Today and New York Times, at least. I guess they just started it.
You know, but it's not the New York Times. Tim, has the New York Times shrunk?
They said they were going to shrink the New York Times.
But it hasn't happened yet.
It doesn't look like it to me.
All right.
And you might be getting winded going up the stairs because of all the benzene in downtown Portland. The DEQ just came out with that report last week, right?
Sure.
Well, it's three times the national level and all across the nation.
Level of what?
Of benzene in the air.
Wasn't benzene the head of the Soviet Union before Gorbachev?
Listen, though, the most important issue is you've got to make Scotty reveal what male he would hypothetically sleep with. It's not a real thing. And the more he stonewalls giving a response, that's a curious. That's a curious man.
You know, we should just have, what's his name, Gay Bob come up, and for every time Scotty refuses to answer, Bob forcibly kisses him. We'll have HR film the whole thing.
I mean, geez, right. Scotty, we're not asking you to do it. Just, you know, if someone had a hypothetical gun to your head, right? Why won't he answer? Peace. Tim Riley rules.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Right. Okay, so I was Googling the Paramount Hotel, and the first blog that I found says, the Paramount Hotel, we have a position for you.
There's a position open. There's a vacancy. All right.
That's terrible.
I'm just saying what everybody's thinking so it can be out in the open. All right. Shall we break?
Yes.
Is Dick Uliano 11:30? Yeah. Okay, let's break. We'll come back with Dick Uliano later on. A very sad snuff watch today. Tim Riley reviews all of the upcoming movies in one sentence. And we will have the AM 970 New News Hour. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. For nefarious purposes. It's really not. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by, Megan, a part of your listening day. We want to thank, who sent this? This is from Kristen. What is her name?
Listener here.
This is from Kristen. Rick, I saw this article in the Washington Post and thought of you. Pleased to be reading the author and the article's last name. Yes, this is from WashingtonPost.com today. Thursday, November 9th. Under the analysis. Not to be confused with analrapist section. New direction may be a challenge for Bush. Says reporter Dan Balls. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Tolerating our juvenile chicanery to no end. CNN radio correspondent Dick Uliano. Hello, sir.
And a good afternoon to Rick Emerson. I'm in Arlington, Virginia, outside Senate Democratic candidate Jim Webb's headquarters.
We've got conflicting about the concession. Has a concession happened, or is it scheduled to happen, or?
It's scheduled to happen. Senator George Allen, the Republican, has scheduled public remarks about 30 minutes from now, and people believe that he is prepared to concede the Senate race. And this would mean a clean sweep for the Democrats, taking the House, the Senate, and 28 governor's mansions.
Well, this is the Associated Press last night was reporting that the Democrats had taken the Senate. And you got to figure at this point, in a post-2000 world, that they wouldn't, as we sometimes say about the Inquirer, the Associated Press, they wouldn't say it flat out if they didn't have it.
The thing is that Democrat Jim Webb has something like a 7,200-vote lead, and they've been canvassing all of these. The local election boards across Virginia have been conducting a canvass, basically reviewing their numbers, making sure they added everything right. And so far they've found that, you know, everything is A-OK. Everything's copacetic. And that's why AP has come out and said, you know, hey, look, the Democrat has won this race.
There was no ruckus from the White House. There was no threats of, like, we're going to send lawyers down there and have them comb through everything, anything like that. Has the White House been pretty upfront about the fact that they got the whooped there?
Yeah, and they're not really involved in this race. You know, the Republican National Party may be watching it, but the word from the George Allen, the Senator Allen campaign, is that he does not want to drag things out. He would have the right to call for a recount, but it seems unlikely that he's going to. Basically, they've been watching the canvas, and they've seen no big changes in the numbers. So with something like 2,400,000 votes cast, it's the Democrat by 7,500 votes.
Let me ask you a question about the Donald Rumsfeld being given the bums rush, as they say. First of all, I got to give it up to that guy because he was he gets blown out yesterday, and today he's speaking at, I think, the University of Kansas or something like that. He's either given some sort of a speech or something or other. So, I mean, that's a guy that, man, he picks himself right back off the mat. Here's a really dumb question, and this is, somebody had asked me this last night. I was out and somebody asked me this, and I didn't really have a good answer. Somebody said that George W. Bush getting rid of Donald Rumsfeld, you know, we all have heard the phrase, you throw somebody under the bus. And he said that what this was like was, there's a speeding bus coming down the road. The bus puts on the brakes, completely stops, comes to an absolute standstill. And then you throw your friend in front of the bus where it does nothing at all. And that's what this is. I mean, the election's over. I mean, what is it? He's not going to gain anything from this. So what, I mean, what is to be gained other than looking like he's just stabbed his pal in the back?
Well, as best as I can understand it, they've been discussing this for some time. Remember that the president's former chief of staff, Andrew Carr, had recommended to the president that Rumsfeld go. Word from the Pentagon is that Rumsfeld has been considering this for some while, but, you know, the rising crescendo of talk against him, according to people close to him, made it more difficult for him to go. But in the past couple of weeks, the opinion congealed at both the Pentagon and the White House that it was time for a change. It is my understanding that this was decided before these election results came in. The thinking was, on the White House's part, that the Republicans would do all right in these elections. Yeah, they would come out looking pretty good, and on that high note that they thought they were going to have, they would say, oh, and now let us also tell you that Rumsfeld's leaving and we're going to bring in Gates. And the fact of the matter is the election did not go the Republicans' way, so it sort of looked like salt on the wounds. But that's basically the way it came up.
So, anyway, well, what does a guy like Donald Rumsfeld do now? What's the next step? Does he go home and write the inevitable memoir about his time at the helm?
Well, it's hard to imagine this guy sitting in one place. He was on a number of corporate boards before he was summoned back to government service. You could see him doing that. I would imagine those offers would come in. Although he's been a bit of a lightning rod and people describe him as controversial, the fact of the matter is, over the tenure of his public service, he has been a well-respected federal official, both a congressman and a defense secretary and a one-time White House chief of staff to President Ford. He now, though, will be forever linked with the Iraq War, but that's not to say that there's not still life after the Pentagon for Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, I got to tell you, I would just, if I could find it in the CBS Radio Portland budget, I would hire that guy to be the image of the station right now. I would just hire, just put him on every billboard and have him voice every commercial we do. And it would all be the same. It would just be him threatening to come to people's houses and beat them in the face if they don't listen. Him coming, you know, if you, and it would just be a lot of, this is Donald Rumsfeld. If you don't listen to the Rick Emerson Show, I will come and I will beat your ass with a shovel. I would absolutely do that.
He's a tough guy. You know, and they say he doesn't suffer fools gladly, they claim that he ran roughshod over some of these military guys. But then on the other hand, I mean, that's what we have, is civilian control over the military.
Well, I got to say, Suzanne, I know you're very busy here, but I have one final observation and then a question. This, he is, here, and just because we are sort of bidding farewell to Donald Rumsfeld as a grist for the Rick Emerson radio program, at least until he snaps and robs a liquor store or something. But I think as Henry Rollins once said about Bill Graham, Donald Rumsfeld is like, he's like the really sort of angry, like rough grandfather who like loves you a lot, but is like mean to you. And it's just sort of like, come here, are you okay? Everything fine? Great. Do you need anything? You know, and just like the grandfather who loves you a lot but is terrifying at the same, like you feel like he might just take out like an axe handle and just go to work on you with it.
It may be him.
Final question, and you can be honest with me about this, Dick Ulana. We can level with each other as men here. Does Lisa Goddard just like have she just got a grudge against me or something? Is she actively avoiding me?
No, she's crazy about you.
Or I'm just saying.
Was,
I mean,
yeah, no, she really is. She thinks you're the cat's pajamas.
I'm just saying, if the opposite were true, you could tell me like a man. I could take it.
It's just that with the elections, the hours have been a bit screwed up. In fact, I was talking to a former CNN guy, John Disney.
I love that guy.
Told him what's going on with Rick Emerson. He says, you tell Rick I said hello.
Fantastic.
And tell him I'm with Big Oil now.
Yeah, so that's somebody, I think Lisa actually told us that when we came back from our hiatus. Yeah, John Disney, we missed that guy, man. All right, my friend, it's a busy day for you. I will let you go and enjoy the rest of your Virginia afternoon. We will talk to you in the future, sir.
Take care. Thanks, Rick.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Dick Uliano. God bless him. Hear that?
Lisa, I knew you weren't going to be able to make it through with that aspect.
Lisa Goddard thinks that I am the Piano Staccato. Yeah, in your face, Sarah Dillon. And everybody else. Woo! Let's hear it for me. All right. It's, I was just thinking she was ducking me. That was, by the way, and you see, you all were not here for this when I did this morning, because we booked, you know, Lisa, because it doesn't actually even say Giuliano's name on the prep sheet today, I don't think. No, it's Costantini, McCarthy, Roop, Lisa Goddard. And so, you know, I'm like, eh, Lisa Goddard, we'll talk to her about Donald Rumsfeld, 11:30, blah, blah, blah. And then Sarah catches me, she's like, yeah, it's not going to be Lisa Goddard, Dick Giuliano, Lisa, you know, is not coming on. And I was like, well, why? Because she hates you. And then Sarah just sort of walks off. Are those all pictures of Britney Spears? You've been thanks a lot for
no,
that, by the way. I'm
so,
trying to talk to Dick Giuliano. These big bosoms filling the
it's
screen over there.
It's frustrating being a blogger right now because all any of the blogs have on is Britney Spears.
Yeah,
I can't find anything.
Life is hard. It really. Well, no, see, but now you know this is like the news. It's interesting. Blogs have their own, no pun intended, boom and bust cycle where it's one story that dominates everything. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes it's political.
And then people start to complain, like, why is so much Britney? He's like, I don't have anything else.
But you know what? It's going to be all Britney as long as this divorce. Oh, man. And that's just going to be the sweetest plum.
Are we having a Britney watch? Or did you see how he just said he's trying to get full custody of the children now?
You know, can I just tell you?
What an idiot.
Can I just, I'm just talking about this Britney and Kevin divorce makes me want to just sort of, I just feel tingly. I almost want to rub up against the counter a little bit. Just while we're talking about it. No, seriously. Wait. That's passed. Nope. Yeah.
I was scared for a second there because yesterday I'd heard a rumor that she was just doing it to try and scare him. But the
divorce?
Like it, yeah.
Oh, no, he's out, baby.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
That made me really sad for a second there.
Here's the thing about Britney Spears, and it's if I can just be pop psychology guy for a second. The thing about Britney Spears is at the... Pardon me while I pick my nose. Look away.
Ew.
I told you I was going to pick my nose.
Well, you're talking. You didn't look at me.
Look away. Look away. Sarah, look away. Hold on.
You are so gross.
I have to... Like, you don't pick your nose.
Not in front of people.
I told you.
Okay, let's move forward.
Okay, I'm done. Wait, hold on. Okay, I'm done. Here's the thing about Britney Spears. Britney Spears may be rich and famous and hot and successful and all that, but the bottom line, at the end of the day, the bottom of the page, when all is said and done, Britney Spears is a woman. And the thing about a woman is you don't want to be with some idiot loser guy that just can't get anything done. And that's clearly, what he has got, and he hasn't helped. What do you mean that's... Are you saying... let me ask you this, Scotty. Are you telling me that you don't find Britney Spears hot? Be honest. Tell me right now. Do you find Britney Spears hot? Yes or no? Oh, I see. Now he doesn't want to type on the screen. Now there's silence from Scotty J. All right. Well, whatever. Okay. Well, you ponder it. You ponder that good question. Do you find Britney Spears hot? Do you find Britney Spears to be hot? This is a yes or no question. I'm asking, like, what...
I think she's on her way to being hot.
No, just... Okay, let me ask you this, Scotty. On a classic 1 to 10 scale, where would you rate Britney Spears as it stands today? With these new photos of her that we've seen, I don't know, like, in the past. Since 6.5? Nah, you're high. Maybe, like, when she was, like, just had pushed out the children, maybe. Because that's, you know, there's a rebound period, though. But my thing about Britney Spears is that Britney Spears is like any woman. That women are attracted to guys. And, it's not even that a guy... Hey, now you're just antagonizing me. I swear to God, you keep it up and I'll yank you in here and talk to you about making out with Paul Stanley. I swear to God, I'll do it. The thing about Britney Spears is that Britney Spears, when all is said and done, like any woman, wants to be with a guy who, even if he's not actually successful at the moment, like even if he's not making a lot of money, he's not selling a million records, there's guys who have an aura. Not of success, maybe, but an aura that, like, that they are going somewhere. Do you know what I mean? That there's, like, and women have this, too. There's a lot of, like, and I've talked about this in the past, there's all kinds of different women in the world. You know, there's something to be said for just trashy sluts, and there's something to be said for, you know, whatever, librarians and cops and so forth. You know what I dig, though? There are women who, again, even if they're not independently wealthy, even if they're not there to run a corporation, there are women who are really, they have a success vibe about them. That they are driven. They're going to get things done. They're motivated. They've got their eye on the target. Whatever. And I find that totally hot in a woman. Women find that absolutely attractive in a man. Kevin Federline does not have that vibe in any way. He is, if you could chart like a negative sort of graph, he is so without that vibe in every conceivable fashion. And plus, I mean, she's got to feel like she just has three kids. Because, I mean, he's just there suckling at her talent. That's it, man. That's what he's... That's it. That he's, everything is predicated on that. And then I saw this interview with him in Salon last week where he was just... They were... And he's doing that. I don't know his background. I don't know where he comes from. But, I mean, there's just certain things that you can't say if you are Kevin Federline. If you're just, like, if you're just some random white guy that nobody knows trying to be a rapper, especially if you're a random white guy who is now, at least at that point in time, independently wealthy because you're living with Britney Spears, here's some things you can't do. You can't say the phrase bling. You can't talk about your kicks. You can't go, my kicks, what does he say? My, I swear to God he said this. He said... And it makes me cringe even to repeat it. They were. This is like 2 weeks ago before the divorce gets kicked in. They asked Kevin Federline, and he, you know, about like, I don't know, whatever, like what he spends his money on or something. And he says, my kicks is blowing up, yo. And I just reading it, like I, even now, just saying it, my skin is crawling. I mean, I actually physically wanted to push myself back as far away from the screen as I could possibly get. And he was talking about, like, his, you know, his jewelry and his, you know, his, how he's decked out on the ice and whatnot. And then he was talking a lot about, wait for it, being from the streets. And I don't, maybe Kevin Federline is actually from the streets, maybe he's not. But the, you get to a certain point in your life, there's a certain perception of you, you're just not allowed to say anything. He is at that place right now. So, what was my... Anyway...
I'm so, just so glad he's going to go away.
Oh, no, but that was... The thing, though, is that it's, he's going to drag... that because he knows this is his one shot. He knows that this is his one lottery ticket. Because how much did they pay what's-his-guts, that Jason Alexander guy that she was married to? Did they ever reveal how much it was? I mean, it was a lot, right?
I don't... Yeah, I don't know. I think that they settled out of court.
I mean, she was married to that guy for, what, like 55 hours? Something like that, maybe? And they had to fork over a ton of cash to him. And so Kevin Federline, who, although I do have... I might as well just read this now, because it's going to be... I don't want to save it all for the Britney watch, because it's just going to be an endless Britney watch all day, all week, all whatever. Let me read this. We'll talk to Scotty J about these, because we got to get some giveaways done today. And then we'll probably break here in a second. Don't forget, we got the Whoopi Goldberg sound. Wake up with Whoopi. We have... God, what else? We have this... Oh, I got that Blood Rock song, which I think I can... Which I think I can play. I think enough time has passed since the unpleasantness downtown. God, where did I put my? Where did I put this story that was like the? It was like the point by point breakout of who gets what in the Britney Spears divorce. God, where did I put it? I gotta find it here. Hold on just a second. Pardon me while I'm that guy. Because it was like a, it was a list of like
yeah, they've already yeah. Well, this is what she's asking for in the divorce, right? Or what she wants to get, or is this from the prenup?
I had the prenup. I don't even know where it went now. I had a copy of the prenup and what he was allowed to get and what he wasn't, like what he was entitled to and what he was not entitled to. Well, anyway, so I got this. Pop beauty Britney Spears could be facing a bitter divorce battle with, and there's no sweeter words, facing a bitter divorce battle with estranged husband Kevin Federline. In a shocking reply to Britney Spears' divorce petition, failed rapper Kevin Federline has filed for sole legal and physical custody of one-year-old Sean Preston and eight-week-old Jaden James. In Britney Spears' divorce papers, the pop singer also filed for sole custody of Preston and Jaden. Spears, 24, has suggested... Boy, you want to talk about just sack in her purse. Has suggested that her husband only be given visitation rights. She also waived her right to maintenance from Federline, whose career has... This is how they're phrasing it. Whose career has yet to match the success of her own. And she asked that each party pay their own legal fees. Federline, an aspiring rapper, also wants a slice of his wife's multi-million dollar fortune, with the documents revealing that he will seek alimony as well. How embarrassing. I mean, look, I understand you got to get money where you can get it.
We already know he has no shame.
That's what I mean. It's just got to be, I mean, maybe he just doesn't feel like he could be any more emasculated. Quote, Kevin is prepared to go the distance in order to do what he feels is necessary for his children.
I haven't seen him around his children since their baby was born.
I don't think I've ever in my life seen a picture of him with the kids in which she was not also
exactly.
In the photo.
Exactly. I've never seen him alone with them.
And he will not be intimidated from pursuit of those goals. Reports have said that Spears was protected through a costly from a costly settlement through an ironclad prenuptial agreement. Her fortune is estimated at $120 million. In the divorce paper, the pop star lists assets including, quote, miscellaneous jewelry and other personal effects, as well as her earnings from after the separation date as a separate property, and thereby off limits to her husband. But see, that doesn't... See, the thing is, though, does that mean... Does that mean that she has to split everything she made before the wedding? or during the period of the wedding. Pop star lists assets, including miscellaneous jewelry and other personal effects, as well as her earnings from after the separation date as separate property and thereby off limits to her husband. So that's... But that's, it sounds like she still has to split all the crap that she had when they got married.
No, I read something where everything under, like, everything that they bought together under $10,000 has to go back to the retailer or where they got it, and then anything over $10,000 she gets to keep.
All right.
Like all of his cars and motorcycles and everything.
Last night, Kevin performed songs from his new album, Playing with Fire, at Chicago's House of Blues. During his set, Kevin called out to the crowd saying, quote, "Hey, I see a lot of fine ladies in here." And then, wait for it. "You know I'm a free man, right, ladies?"
Oh, God.
That's all about class right there. That guy is all about style and sophistication. No, it gets better. He says, this is him on stage.
This is at his free concert in Chicago.
"You know I'm a free man with free tickets to my..." Hello? This man, hell hath no fury, dude.
See, and
she
now
is
nobody is going to show up because after people, like I was saying, wanted to see Britney. Now since they know that they're getting a divorce,
I swear
nobody
to God,
will show up.
Is he coming anywhere near here? Because I'll go now. I will not pay. In no way will I pay, but I'll go. I will go. I'll go and I'll heckle. That's all I'll do. If he's coming anywhere near here, I'll make a trip. I'll drive. If I have to drive to Seattle, I'll do that. Anyway, during his set, Kevin called. Are you looking it up? Thank you. During his set, Kevin called out to the crowd saying, quote, "Hey, I see a lot of fine ladies in here. You know I'm a free man, right, ladies? You want to dance with a pimp?" And then singling out one woman in the crowd who didn't have to pay for her ticket, he said, "That's a sexy-ass lady right there." Later on, he shouted, "All my ladies, I love you to death." In a new interview, Kevin Federline blames Britney Spears for his failed rap career. Fantastic.
All right, he's not coming anywhere near here. The closest he's going to be is L.A. At the House of Blues.
We should see if Jim Roop can go.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk to Jim Roop later on today. And we're talking to him about the Britney Spears thing. So later on, we should see if he can do that. All right. It's 503-733-2970. I don't want to get my hands. We should break here. We'll come back with Tim Riley. We'll go through upcoming films on the New York Times. We will get the last word on this guy who tossed himself off a building downtown. Later on, we will have the weekly radio address, sound from Whoopi Goldberg, and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Then I was dark and the sky was blue. Down the aisle where I swag and blue.